the distance to the road, they were maxed out at 850 feet a number of years ago. And they were also maxed out to, let's see, in the direction of 51st at 650 feet. And now, this recent blast, October 1st, you know, they used to have quarrying in Cedarburg. And I say used to have it because they determined it was a public nuisance. And, you know, if a business in the city, they businesses have to be licensed with the city. And if they are becoming a nuisance, then they should be ceasing to do business in the city.
Well, they're not licensed to the city. They're licensed to the state.
Okay, they're licensed in the state. The city is part of the state, hon.
Well, we don't do the licensing, and I can tell you the quarry lobbying people are very active with the state level, not at the city level.
They should be with the city level.
The quarry people lobbying the city level in favor of the quarry? That's what my point was.
Well, I am saying that if the quarries are becoming a nuisance,
I understand.
If they're a nuisance, and if they are maxed out already, and I think an independent survey should be done to determine whether they are maxed out.
We actually did have the survey as part of the quarry monitoring at one time, and that survey showed some areas that were gray because they couldn't determine where the center line of the road was based on what the PDD said, and because at some point the center line of the road moved from the years from that PDD. So we tried that angle, and it really went nowhere. And Mr. Deedle, I don't know what happened to that document, but it was supposed to go before the Plan Commission because the Plan Commission was supposed to take that up. Do you know whatever happened to our request for them to look at that survey that was...
Our city attorney was going to talk to Payne and Dolan's attorney, and they were going to work on something that they both agreed to, of how to measure it.
They were maxed out a number of years ago to the south and toward 51st.
I think Ms. Barber would like to
possibly be blasting in either direction.
Alderman Barber would like to respond.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Lynn, my understanding is that there's a distance this way, but there's no distance down. That you can go till there is, you can come this way, but you can keep going lower.
And go under.
Let them go so they get water.
But that's, even that section along Drexel, we're not all the way even to where that limit is, but in a small portion in the southwest corner of
right.
The quarry.
And that's
400 or 500 feet. So.
That's where the rock ran out. There, you
well,
ran
into. We're up to our limit in that corner,
okay.
But we still have some in the middle where we're not up to those limits yet that we can still extract.
Well, the last time it was measured, it was maxed, and I think Franklin needs, and the residents need an independent study. Nothing that has to do with the quarry. It has to be paid for by Franklin. And maybe we can get some help from Cedarburg. How about that? As far as I'm concerned, I mean, we bought our house in 1980. Payne and Dolan didn't exist then. Not here. And they are a nuisance. They've been a nuisance ever since they took over. And I want an independent study. And I mean, if we can get enough people together, we could go for the nuisance award. And I don't think that Franklin wants to be noted as being a place where they allow nuisances doing business in the city. Do they?
Well, I'm on your side. I totally agree with you. I'm not very happy about how the PDD is written and what it says. It does not help me help my residents at all. I would be all for putting it on the council agenda and trying to find that.
Well,
the problem is the problem is getting it there because I don't set the council agendas. So
I don't mean to be facetious here, but nuisance to me is if you have a document that says they can do within this limit, when does it become a nuisance if they are within the limit? I mean, I understand. I live on 60th.
But it does destruction to homes.
But it does what?
Destruction to homes.
I mean, she has a valid point.
Yes,
the problem is...
so, but nuisance is a
right.
general term, and I'm not sure what that
I think what he's trying to say is, the problem is speeding near a school at 45 miles an hour may be way too fast, but if the speed limit is set at 45 miles an hour and you go down the road at 38 miles an hour... they can't give you a ticket, even though you're obviously probably driving too fast in a school area.
Needs to do something.
Well, you understand the document is a legally binding document between two parties. Franklin can say, we're opening this up, and Payne and Dolan says, we're not party to that. That's how legal documents work. Both parties have to agree to open it up.
Are you sitting there and telling me that you cannot recommend an independent study?
That's not what I said at all.
Well, I'm asking.
We already have an independent consultant monitoring the blast to make sure they don't go over.
Who?
But
Who?
Stantec is
monitoring. Now I sound
like an owl. Mr. Deedle, would you like to address the consultant that is hired?
The city
pays for the consultant?
The city does. The city pays for it.
Yes,
we get reimbursed by Payne and Dolan.
I want a study done as far as the parameters. I want to know if the quarries are up.
Then you have to convince the Common Council to do that. That's not part of the PDD.
What do we do? Go and pick it?
You have to talk to your alderman, you have to talk to the mayor, you have to talk to the Common Council. And I also said the mayor and the Common Council.
I mean, this administration in Franklin really leaves so much to be desired.
Well, I think the problem is the process. The process is that we are a recommending body to the council. We are willing to make, I believe I am, I think everyone up here would probably agree, that we are willing to make a recommendation to the council. Then the mayor has to put that item on the council agenda. Then the council has to act upon that. Then the council has to vote upon it, and you need four votes. So if you want to start something, you have to start lobbying the mayor and the rest of the council members, because I believe we're in agreement, depending on what the request is. I think we can support what you're saying. But standing here and being rude and yelling at me, Penny, is not helping. It's getting my blood pressure up.
Well,
and I'm
what?
Here and I'm here to help you. You what?
I said you've already gotten mine up.
Well, you came in here before you even walked in the door, and you were scowling at me like something was my fault, like I'm out there
you're
doing
that. You're not my favorite person.
well, thank you.
Okay.
Now you're getting a little personal. I think Alderman Barber would like to speak.
I have no problem defining where those limits are and asking someone to review it. I would support that as your alderman. Mm-hmm. I think if... within the structure of the PDD and the ordinance, we can get that definition and we can review where, if there is any area that isn't in compliance. That we can do, and I'm in favor of doing, of supporting that as your alderman, and I think, because I live there too. I'm subject to that south. I live on 61st and Drexel, the same as the other lady whose backyard is on Drexel. So I'm there as well. And Marge lives on 60th and about a half a block south of me. So we are there, and that's why we're on the committee. So we do support what you're saying here, yeah. But we also have the limits of the PDD and the ordinance to at least get a definition of what that is supposed to be and then measure against that. And that's what I would recommend we do.
How long will it take to make that recommendation?
We could make a recommendation this evening.
Okay.
I've already started to draft up a possible motion.
And then how long will it take to get it on the council?
That's up to the mayor.
You've got two aldermen here that are willing to work with you, and obviously, I mean, we wanted this meeting to hear this and to work with that. So we're not your enemy at this point, and we want to help, but we understand that what the limits are, and we have to work within that to get at least the baselines established and know where we are and know where the quarry is in it. So as far as I'm concerned, and I have not heard anything saying that they have gone beyond the limits, but we should try to verify that.
And I can tell you, if I would have been on the council when that PDD, those PDDs came before us, my vote would have been no. But I wasn't here. And it's a law that was put into place. And now the challenge is, how do you change that? When you have to have both parties.
Shaking people.
I understand.
And they're not air blasts. When I was in the hallway when the last one hit, and the floor actually shook under me. It dropped out from under me. My whole house shook.
I understand. Penny, there's two more people. If you'd like to come back up when we're done, you can come back up again.
Good evening. My name's Bruce Demetrius. I live at 6024 West Allwood. My house back is right on Drexel. And the questions that I have, and I appreciate the time you're devoting to this, but it's kind of disappointing. I know you're a committee that gives recommendations to the council. It's a little disappointing to me that the mayor's not here. He's not interested. That's really disappointing. He's an elected official. He's got constituents here concerned, and he's not here because it's something different to hear it in person versus reading it in a text. And that's disappointing. So that's my spiel. And I understand Caleb Dolan's got to make money, and I understand what they have to do. But I've been here since 1990. And about 10 years ago, we put in a pool, an in-ground pool in our backyard. It's 18,000 gallons. And some of the blasts since we've put in the pool have actually caused a ripple effect on that pool. And if I don't care what you say, it's having an effect on my house and everybody else on Drexel. But when I can sit by the pool and hear the blast go off and see ripples in my pool, it's concerning. It's very concerning to me. Now, I don't know what you can do about it, but the other question I have, the south end coming towards Drexel, from my understanding, it's 1,100 feet off of Drexel. Now, is it possible, or can Payne and Dolan move that 1,100 feet to 850 feet closer to Drexel? Because that's going to put it right in my backyard, and I'm concerned about it. And it's frustrating, and I don't want to go on and yell and scream, but the fact of the matter is, when we bought the house, we signed the agreement with Payne and Dolan for 10 years to protect the value of our house. And if memory serves me right, it was taking a like house, putting it away from a quarry, and making the full value away from the quarry. Now, if it was valuable to the residents, and I understand it was signed, law, and negotiated, but if it was valuable and there was a concern 10 years, for that 10 years from 1990 to 2000, what makes it different now? The blasts were bad when we moved in, but I'm telling you that blast in October was probably the loudest one and shook everything in my house for 5 years. I mean, but the blasts haven't, they've been as strong as that years ago, and that's my concern. I'm concerned. I love Franklin. I love Linden. I love our neighborhood. But this, my wife and I actually talked about selling it, taking a loss, and getting out. That's how concerned I am. And that's all I have to say, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Yes. I don't know. You might want to check to see if the mic is turned on.
My name is Jeff Klinkowitz. The address is 8088 South 57th Street. I want to first thank the committee for moving this time when more residents have the option to attend, and I hope that will be taken in consideration in the future. I have read the PDDs.
I've heard that comment a couple of times. I'm just going to say that this committee meets at the call of chair, so I can set the time whenever, but I was doing it in consideration of staff who has to be here, and it was convenient for them not to have to go home. And so it's not a problem. Change meeting time. So just
thank you. Mm-hmm. In the professional agreement for this calendar year between the city and StanTech, it states for each seismic complaint, if the StanTech is monitoring at the time, they will charge the city $225 per complaint to evaluate and provide the city planner a short summary. Right then and there, it's almost like you don't even want complaints. It costs you money. It's right in the contract. $225 per complaint. Just in the last your last committee meeting in July, you had 37 complaints in one meeting. My main question is, how can that summary be accurate and reliable when in the January 25th Quarry Committee meeting, the representatives from StanTech and Payne and Dolan both stated that the monitor is giving false readings when the city pump at the pump station is on? The October 1st blast, where why most of us are here, was rated at 17%. That could be, I'm not saying it is, but that could be a false reading. It says so in the minutes of the January 25th Quarry Committee meeting.
There is a difference between the 17% figure is actually Payne and Dolan's own reading. It's not StanTech's.
Okay. What was StanTech's reading?
Right.
It wasn't working that day.
It wasn't working that day.
Also, that StanTech, the StanTech monitor does not record every blast like the Payne and Dolan monitors record.
Correct.
Every blast. Everybody knows. January 25th, in that committee meeting, when they were talking about this monitor at the pumping station, it was talked about in the next committee meeting, and then it's never been talked about since. So why are you... The city pays $43,000 for the StanTech contract per calendar year. Why isn't that monitor moved? You have both representatives here saying that is giving false readings. Why isn't the monitor moved? I looked into what the monitor is. I've never seen one. It's a there's a geophone, there's ground spikes, and a sandbag. How hard is that to move? And has the committee looked at moving it since January 25th? Have they investigated the cost of moving it and possible locations?
We'll address some of those. Would you like to address that or Mr. Deal? Right, the monitor. Right.
I'd be glad to have you move back. Then we get a more accurate reading.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's just to clarify that we have four permanent seismographs that are from Quarry, as I mentioned earlier, and those are all operated by a third party, FiberTech. They're a big worldwide company, I think, but that's their specialty is monitoring vibrations. So they have permanent seismographs that set up. They come in once a year, calibrate those, and then those readings are instantaneously uploaded to the website, and then we get those. What the city uses through Stantec is just a portable unit that I don't even know how long they've had that set up, but it's set up a little bit different, but they've been under the direction, my understanding is they've been under the direction, and I don't even know where that came from, to put it in certain locations. We've discussed that to try to get them so you can correlate it, but the information that we're getting, that's not Payne and Dolan going out there and giving it to you, it's a third party doing that for us. And then the only other thing I'd like to address to one of your comments is that, because it's been brought up a few times, is the monitoring. The same documents that were negotiated back in 1997, I believe, is when they were accepted, the PDDs. You know, the quarries were originally a non-conforming use site, which means there wasn't any rules as far as hours of operation, blastings, anything, besides what the state or the DNR would impose. So as part of that negotiation, they came in and put a whole set of limits on there. Part of it was including blasting, with keeping that at a much lower level than even what the state allows. And then there was hours of operations that went in there. But there was also set up a, for each PD, a certain amount of money that could be used to by the city to ensure that we were compliant with those requirements of the PD. So the city is just using those funds that are allowed by those documents. So it's not paying going out and paying for Stantec. It's the city doing, but we have a responsibility through those agreements to reimburse the city for those reasonable costs and doing that monitoring.
And I'd also like to say that over the years, what happened, there was the quarry monitoring committee that was pre this committee. And I remember that they actually ended up dissolving it because they couldn't find anything as far as blast over, because the blasts are so, you know, the levels are so high that even when we record them, it doesn't matter because they are shaking your homes at those levels. So moving the monitoring around and getting readings that consistently stay within the guidelines are not, it's kind of worthless. It's kind of like spending money for trying to catch something that you can never catch because the limits are set so high.
I think that's the biggest question here, that the limit is set at 85%. That's the problem. You know, that's it in a nutshell. 85%, it's in the PDD. Cannot be changed, or basically, we can't. I have a letter from Stantec in October saying that they did a 14-day monitoring period. They recorded, Payne and Dolan had notified them that there were 7 blasts during that 14 days. Stantec recorded 0 recordings in that 14-day period. And the reason why they recorded 0 when Payne and Dolan said there were 7 blasts is because they found the unit was not accurate. It says in the Stantec letter here, the unit is ineffective and not accurate. They decided October 10th to pull it and shut it down. And the city is paying $43,000, or Payne and Dolan is reimbursing the city for $43,000. It's a waste of money. The last question I have, which will be
I'd like to go back to that.
Yeah.
Mr. Deedle, we have not had a meeting for several reasons, and so we, I mean, if you got this thing that said it wasn't working, why didn't we know about it as a committee if it wasn't working? Because that would have been very important for both of the aldermen to know. I would have immediately called a meeting had I known that report was available.
I thought it was more important to get it fixed than to talk about it, and as you're very aware, I work here almost every single night. So okay. Right now, I would be downstairs working instead of being here. So I have to make priority calls all the time. I knew this meeting was coming up. I knew there was nothing we could do. The machine was going to be fixed by Stantec as quickly as possible.
So how did StanTech get the approval to just go fix it if it didn't, you know, because I'm not aware that the contract had funds for fixing or, you know, wouldn't we have had it diverted some money or something? Or
the time that they're sending it in to get it fixed, they estimated would be about the time, same cost it would be to fix it. And they got an estimate, and it is about that same cost.
Okay.
So we will still remain in budget.